Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Manu Franklin, a GB canoe slalom athlete.
Yeah, I'm Joe Clark. I am the Olympic champion from Rio 2016.
I'm Joe Fraser, Team GB gymnast.
Hey, my name's Emma Wilson. I'm a windsurfer. I'm really happy to be selected for Team GB for Paris 2024.
This is Anything But Footy, the Olympic and Paralympic podcast, covering the games all the time, rather than once every 4 years. I'm John.
And I'm Michael, and we are en route to Paris for this summer's Olympic and Paralympic Games, as plenty more Team GB quota spots are confirmed.
Coming up in this episode, another bonus edition this week in Olympic year. British divers and swimmers deliver at the World Aquatic Championships.
To get a silver medal at World Champs in Olympic year is crazy. Like any World Champs, let alone an Olympic year World Champs. So yeah, we're just really happy.
You know, it has been a long time since I've been in this, and the next 5 months are going to really define who I am.
I'm so happy. It's amazing.
More from those later. We now know what medals they could be winning at Paris 2024. And this is exciting. Could Team GB be playing ice hockey at Milano Cortina?
We unfortunately also mark the loss of a young man who've already turned the world of marathon running upside down.
It's almost frightening to think what Calvin could have achieved.
And we round up the rest of the news from the games. Plus, you can always stay in touch with us, see what we're all about anytime. You can find us on social media. We're on all the platforms there. And please visit our website, anythingbutfooty.com, to read our latest blogs. And you can also message us through there.
I know it. Michael knows it. You know it as well. We're right in the middle of one of the biggest Olympic sporting events before the Paris 2024 Games this summer. We'll have the World Indoor Athletics to come in a couple of weeks in Glasgow, the European Athletics in Rome in early summer, European rowing, European gymnastics. But this is a big world event in aquatics. And I'll be honest, for the first time since covering these World Aquatic Championships, I heard them mentioned elsewhere, on Radio 4, in fact, on the Radio 4 Today programme this week. Were they celebrating all the success of British diving after a week of medals? Michael will tell us all about that in a moment. No, they weren't. What they were talking about was Adam Peaty, coming third in the men's 100-metre breaststroke final. With lots of comments since that I've seen, he's got a long way to go. Now, I'd like to say he's come a long way already. The three-time Olympic champion who missed the Worlds last year because of his mental health is coming back to Paris 2024, and he will be there. I guarantee he'll be there from the performances he's done in Doha. The fact he put on a British cap for the first time in more than a year in Doha and raced against the new short course and world champions and bagged a bronze in that Olympic event, I think was pretty impressive. He hasn't just turned up as well. He's actually delivered a British medal. Well, let's be honest, medals are not that important in the big scheme of things, with the aim to peak for the trials in April at the London Aquatic Centre at the Olympic Park, and of course hold that form for the Summer Olympics. And Peaty, in that 100-metre breaststroke, remained in a tussle for the lead with the USA's Nick Fink. all the way down that second 50 metres before eventually touching third behind Fink and Italy's Niccolò Martineghi. So a great bronze medal from Adam Peaty. Let's hear from him. He was speaking to British Swimming after that performance.
So yeah, it's a bittersweet because we didn't come here for medals. I wasn't really too fussed about aiming for those medals here because that's just not the target. We've come off a hard bank of work. And last night gave me a little glimmer of hope, thinking I could get faster even today. And maybe I would have if I executed those skills, but I exposed myself here that an arena I haven't been in a while for a final at a World Championship. So I'm disappointed in that essence, but I've also got to not make sure I wear it because, you know, it has been a long time since I've been in this, and the next 5 months are going to really define who I am as an athlete.
Adam Peaty speaking straight after that bronze medal winning performance. I'll continue to have my say in a moment, but your initial reaction, Michael, to Peaty's performance?
It's all part of the process, isn't it? I imagine that's what Adam Peaty's thinking right now. That's what his coaches will be thinking. That's what his support team will be thinking right now. And certainly that will be what British Swimming are thinking about. For them, the focus will be very much on the summer, on Paris. Can they match that record-breaking performance of 3 years ago in Tokyo? Yes, the World Aquatic Championships are a massive event and they're very much a key marker on the road to Paris. But for Adam Peaty, who, as we know, has not been at a World Championships for a while, having missed out through injury and then having taken a step back from the sport to concentrate on his mental health, of course, it is a long road to get back to the levels that he was at. Let's remember he was so far ahead, though, of everybody else, that even Adam Peaty, not quite at 100%, should still be a contender, and he has shown that at these World Championships. And I think with another few months to go between now and the Olympic Games in Paris, if he can stay injury free, if he can stay mentally right, and we know of course that there's massive challenges there for not just Adam Peaty but for all athletes at an elite level, if he can get the physical and the mental well-being right in the build-up to the Games, then I think he will arrive there in good shape and he'll be a contender again.
And right at the end of that interview, he said that he would be judged on this summer, his career. Now, Adam, it won't be. You're already a three-time Olympic champion. So whatever happens this summer is a bonus. You were part of Tokyo 2020, the best ever Olympic performance in British swimming history. And we go back to 1896, for goodness sake. We have a long history and it was the best ever. So 5 months to go, 160 days to the Games. Let's not knock them down before they're even at these Olympic Games. And actually, he's won two bronze medals at these World Aquatics Championships because he also won bronze with Mehdi Harris, Anna Hopkin and Matt Richards. And Michael, you're absolutely right, because his quote after that was, "This is not our priority right now to be in peak condition. We hopefully will be in Paris." And I think from what I've spoken to people at British Swimming, and you can see this with the likes of Tom Dean only competing in the relay, Matt Richards, he's in the 100 metres final later today, but didn't go in the 200 metres, and he's the world champion, of course, in that. They are using these World Championships for a different purpose. They are trying to get to the point where they're ready to peak for these huge British trials in the London Aquatic Centre I mentioned earlier. And that's what they're using this for. So with the British divers, which we'll come on to in a moment, it was about winning medals and getting places. We are still booking places for Paris and quota spots, but I don't think it's all about medals in this World Championships because of the timing of it. Because we are, as I say, 160 days away from the Games. So that 4x100 mixed medley relay, they booked their place in Paris with that swim. A third place for them, a bronze medal for Peaty, Mehdi Harris, Anna Hopkin and Matt Richards, as well as Duncan Scott and James Wilby, who swam in the heats as well. And of course, they are the reigning Olympic champions in that event. So good to have them back in Paris. And talking of quota spots, British Swimming had the big guns out for the men's 4x200 relay in Paris. They will do this summer. And of course, Tom Dean's going for 5 Olympic medals. He swam in that relay with Duncan Scott, Jacob Whittle, and last year's world champion, Matt Richards. And they qualified in the morning heats. They were the third fastest and they qualified for Paris with that swim. And they just missed out on a medal in the actual final after a world record in the first leg of the relay set by China. So It's going to be a tough one in Paris, but as I said, it's about peaking rightly for Paris. And lastly, on the swimming, because it is, as I say, lots more days to come. We've got Lauren Cox in the 50-metre back, Laura Stevens in the 200-metre fly, Matt Richards in the 100-metre free, and Duncan Scott in the 200-metre medley. They are all finals coming up later today, if you're listening on Thursday. And also look out over the weekend, Luke Greenback, Freya Colbert, Max Litchfield, and Ben Proud, who's looking to be the fastest man in water. We've still got some big names to come, lots of action to come in this World Aquatics Championships. And good luck to all at British Swimming.
So great to have Adam Peaty on the podcast in this episode. In the last episode, we heard from Tom Daly on his return to international competition for British Swimming. Along with Noah Williams, the Tokyo Olympic champion, won silver in the men's 10-metre platform synchro event, and he booked the final quota spot for Team GB in diving as well. It means Britain will defend that title won by Tom and Matty Lee 3 years ago, but will face stiff competition from the Chinese again, who dominated this diving world as they usually do. British diving finished fourth in the medal table, but won more medals than ever before. The women's 10-metre synchro pair of Andrea Spendolini-Syriacs and Lois Tolson back to bronze, having made history in Japan last year, winning the first ever world medal. That was a silver. It was Andrea's third medal of the worlds. Also, she finished third in the 10-metre platform and was part of that mixed team gold, of course, on the opening day. Not an Olympic event, by the way. The first time a British woman has won an individual medal, though, in an Olympic event at the World Championships.
It's been a long wait. It's, you know, my first World Championships in Budapest, I didn't make semi, and then last year I didn't make finals. So to be able to make it in the final and then also onto the medal table, it's incredible. I mean, by the grace of God, I'm so happy. It's amazing.
Andrea Spendolini-Syriacs, I think she'll be one of the big stars for Team GB in the summer. Elsewhere, Yasmin Harper and Scarlett Mugensen came third in the 3-metre synchro, so a bronze there. And Ross Haslam made sure of Team GB's second quota spot in the men's 3-metre springboard contest for the Olympic Games by booking safe passage to the event's final in Doha. Some terrific performances all round. I think the key thing, as we said there, with Grace Reid getting the very final quota spot, it means that British diving have qualified for every Olympic discipline for Paris. They will take a full diving team.
Wow.
Medals across the board as well, you know, men's and women's, and in some of those non-Olympic events too. And I think going back to what we were saying about swimming, I think the quota spots are all important here. The medals are excellent, and, you know, it's a terrific achievement to come back from a World Championships with a medal. But again, the focus for all of these guys, especially, you know, the likes of Tom Daly, who's coming back after a long time out, the focus again will be on peaking for Paris. Mm.
There was another place booked in Paris for Team GB, and historic medals being won for Great Britain as well in artistic swimming. Now, as Michael always tells me, I'm not allowed to call it synchronised swimming anymore. Izzy Thorpe and Kate Shortman won silver in the technical duets artistic swimming, and it's the first time ever Great Britain have won a medal in this discipline at the World Championships.
I don't think it will sink in for a couple of days. I think I just need to, take a bit of a rest now. We need to reset ahead of three duets. Obviously, we've got big plans for that as well, so we don't want to let this affect it either way. We just need to stay calm, stay in our zone, and do what we did for this, really. Yeah.
Is he heading into the final? You were third in the prelims, so you must have been confident, but still, you've still got to go out and deliver it.
Yeah, it's like trying to be confident and calm at the same time. So obviously, it was very exciting when we came third in the prelim, but then it's just trying to keep those nerves and, like, there's a bit of pressure because you've come third, so keep
and
that down.
Nothing is guaranteed anymore. Exactly. So it's like you can come third, but then you could also slip down loads as well, so it's not...
We just knew we had to do exactly the same swim, but better, or just do a normal swim for us. We train every day, like we're trying to swim at a World Championship, so we just tried to replicate that here, and I feel like it went really well.
Yeah. And it's history, first ever duet medal for GB in artistic swimming at World Championships. What does that mean?
It means so much. I can't even put it into words. Yeah. I just hope that it's inspiring some young girls and boys back at home. And we can lead the way for some of them, and there's a bright future for artistic swimming in the UK.
Hopefully we'll get a bit more publicity for the sport now.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We can encourage people to get involved and, everything that comes with it.
That was Kate and Isabel talking after their first medals. They then won a second World Championship medal in the space of 3 days, a bronze behind Netherlands and China. And what it meant was that they booked an Olympic spot for Great Britain in the duet programme in Paris. So, as Michael said, we've got the divers there, we've got the swimmers there, and we've got the artistic swimmers there as well for Paris 2024. Congratulations to all.
And that's a terrific achievement as well, because let's remember, artistic swimming is certainly not as developed as a discipline in the aquatic world in this country as perhaps diving is or swimming is, where you've got big programs, you've got well-funded programs there. You know, they're having to lean on support from the likes of Swim England, as opposed to British Swimming, of course, in the past, to try and get them to where they are at the moment. And it just goes to show something that we've often said on this podcast, that if you can put a good program together, you can go from a standing start to being a contender on the global stage in not a quick amount of time, because this is, again, been something that's been building for a while, but it doesn't take a generation necessarily. And that's probably what sports like volleyball and basketball and handball and the others that we've spoken about in the past should be looking at, thinking, can we build a program that maybe in 1 to 2 Olympic cycles can get to where we are now, to becoming a contender, become a medalist on a global stage? And that's what British Swimming is doing with the artistic swimmers now. But let's move away from the pool and focus on the track for a moment. A world record for Josh Kerr, a 2-mile record in New York City at the Millrose Games. He ran 8 minutes 0.67 seconds. Now, that beat Mo Farah's world record from 2015. Laura Muir won the women's race as well in a new British indoor record. So good performances on the track for British athletics. Remember, the World Indoor Athletics comes up in Glasgow between the 1st and the 3rd of March. There'll be a lot of focus on that and confirmation that it will get some BBC television coverage as well recently, along with some other indoor athletics. And that starts this weekend in Birmingham, where we'll have the trials for those World Championships and the British Championships. So we'll have 28 disciplines being competed for across 2 days. Trials, as I said, for the World Championships. The likes of Gemma Reekie and Scott Lincoln all confirmed to be in Birmingham. And what I would say about the importance of this event and why we need to cover it is, we remember this time last year, Jasmine Sawyers won the UK title in the long jump. And then a few weeks later, she went on to win that European indoor title as well. So British titles up for grabs. That's great. A fantastic opportunity as well to try and bag places for the World Indoor Championships, which will have a lot of eyeballs on them in Glasgow at the end of February, start of March.
Indeed, and we have a special edition of Great British Bosses, which is out next week, which is all about world athletics. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Make sure you download and follow, and you won't miss a moment. And we will talk, of course, about the UK trials and the World Indoors in the weeks to come as well. Stay with us, though. This is Anything But Footy, the Olympic and Paralympic podcast. We continue our countdown to Paris 2024.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And this is Anything But Footy, counting down to the Olympic Games. And we now know what Team GB, Paralympic GB and others will be winning this summer in Paris. We actually know what they're going to look like. We haven't managed to touch one yet, but we know what they look like. As organisers revealed the design of the medals for the 2024 Olympic and Paralympics in the last week, a piece of original iron from the Eiffel Tower is placed at the heart of the medal. And the organisers say it's a key part of the gold, silver and bronze that they'll be giving out at the Games. Now, don't worry, they haven't knocked any part of the Eiffel Tower down to get the metal, by the way. It's just bits that have been replaced as the famous structure is made sure that it's fit for purpose 150 years after being built. But it is the original part of the Eiffel Tower that's in these medals. Now, Tony Estanguet, the president of Paris 2024, says they looked at the medals from 1924, the last time the Games were held in Paris, and they wanted them to be the best that they could be, and they want the winning athletes to be proud of wearing this jewel. 5,084 medals created for these Games. I know Michael will be getting his hands on one in the summer, but let's hope a few come our way from a Team GB point of view.
And I think many people were predicting that one of those gold medals would have been going to Kenya's Kelvin Kiptum. But sad news this week. At the age of 24, along with his coach Gervais Hakizimana, died in a car accident, along as with some other passengers in that vehicle as well. We know, of course, Kelvin Kiptum, he was on our London Marathon special last year, was just an outstanding and unbelievable marathon runner. And I read some of the tributes to him. The Kenyan Prime Minister said, "Our nation grieves the loss of a true hero." Eliud Kipchoge said that he inspires us all. May his memory be a source of comfort and strength. He was a very special talent. Seb Coe, the president of World Athletics, said he was shocked and saddened. He was an incredible athlete with an incredible legacy. And I deliberately finish on the tribute there from Seb Coe and that word legacy, because it's difficult to kind of understand someone with a legacy who's only competed in three marathons in his career, but three marathon wins out of three, one world record, two of the six fastest times ever, and was set in a couple of months to race in Rotterdam, where I think most people who follow marathon running carefully would have predicted that Kelvin Kiptum would have dipped under 2 hours for the very first time in a true marathon race. Of course, Eliud Kipchoge did it under controlled conditions in Austria, but I think we were going to see that first sub 2 hour marathon. That's got to be something there up there with the first sub 4 minute mile, the first sub 10 second 100 meters. It's one of those kind of landmarks that we've been aching to try and get to, and I think Kelvin Kiptum would have got there. Just last week, his world record time of 2 hours and 35 seconds was ratified by World Athletics at an event in Chicago, where Lord Coe was there. Coe was in Chicago, and as I said, was aiming to run that sub 2 hour marathon, and it would have put him in such terrific position, wouldn't it, ahead of the Olympic Games in Paris. And it would have been wonderful to have watched that showdown on the Olympic stage with Kiptum and Kipchoge as well going head-to-head together. So, yeah, very sad news at the loss of Kelvin Kiptum, who has died at the age of 24.
And Michael mentioned there that World Athletics had just ratified that world record. So we thought it was the best thing to do to ask World Athletics for a tribute to Kelvin Kiptum. And we spoke to CEO John Ridgeon.
Yeah, I mean, myself, along with certainly everyone here at World Athletics, were desperate news when I heard it late on Sunday night that Kelvin had been killed in a car crash. I mean, what's so awful about this case is a 24-year-old, you know, he's already achieved so much, world record holder at the marathon, but you knew that his best years were ahead of him. And you know, he was on the cusp of probably being the first ever human being to run a marathon under 2 hours in a, you know, in a proper race environment. And, you know, greatness was going to be Kelvin Kiptum's destiny. As I said, when anyone dies in such tragic circumstances, particularly when it was just so exciting that the future that Kelvin would have had, you know, he had 10, 15 years of running ahead of him, and he was only just starting to scratch the surface of what his enormous talent could have delivered.
All sport needs its trailblazers, if you like, and Kelvin was on the cusp of that. I think we were about to see that first sub 2 hour marathon in Rotterdam, not in controlled conditions, but in a proper race.
We were, and you know, everything I hear, his training was going brilliantly well. And by the way, we should mention his coach as well, who was tragically killed alongside him in that car crash in Kenya. It's almost frightening to think what Kelvin could have achieved. So as you say, he was on the cusp of breaking 2 hours in a proper race environment, and who knows how much quicker he could have gone, because he was only 24, and marathon runners do not reach their peak until probably their late 20s. So he had a number of years in him where he was going to get better and better and better. And he was also a super guy. I mean, we awarded him the Road Running Athlete of the Year Award in a ceremony here in Monaco, actually, at the end of last year, on the back of his world record he broke in the Chicago Marathon. And he's just such a lovely, unassuming, modest guy. He was, you could tell as well, he was focused. He knew exactly what he was trying to achieve. And I think, you know, we're all convinced he would have achieved it. But, you know, it makes the tragedy that much greater, sadly.
And you can hear more from John Ridgeon in next week's edition of Great British Bosses. Just quickly on Kelvin Kiptum, Michael. I think you paid the right respect for someone, as you say, who's relatively new to the sport. But as you'll hear from John Ridgeon when we talked broadly about athletics in Great British Bosses next week, they do need new stars. And stars that shine for years, I think, is the, I think a 10-year superstar, I think, is what John Ridgeon said there were hoping for in the Paris Olympics this year. And you think of your Djokovic's, Federer and Nadal's in tennis, your Usain Bolt previously in athletics, Adam Peaty, from a British point of view, a British swimming point of view, who's been on the pod this week, we would look at. And I think it's just, you know, such a shame that we're not going to see the likes of Kelvin, you know, who, as you said, was in the greatest London marathon ever last week, last year. We sat and spoke to him afterwards, as well as Stefan Hassan. And it will always be the case that it's just not going to see him develop into someone who we would really hope could have gone on and dominated a sport that so many people take part in running, and could have inspired a new generation.
You know, I think what you want, don't you, is athletes that cut through,
yeah,
if you like, to the general public. Usain Bolt cuts through to the general public. He had that personality on the track that even non-track fans, non-sports fans knew who Usain Bolt was. And I think the sub-two-hour marathon achievement, that is something that becomes more than an athletics, more than a sports story then. Mm. That is something that cuts through, because the people that are out there doing park runs or their 10K in their local town will suddenly understand the achievement that a sub-two-hour marathon is. You know, if you've done a great North run, a great South run, a great Birmingham run, whatever it is, you'll know what your pace is. And we've got thousands of people doing these mass participation runs throughout the calendar year. And then to have someone doing it, doing a 26.2-mile run in less than 2 hours, that would have been acknowledged. People would have sat up and taken notice of that. You talk about that London Marathon back in April. It was only his second marathon. Yeah. 2 hours, 1 minute, 25 seconds, 3 minutes ahead of the field. That negative split, and that was his style, wasn't it? He used to run the first half of the marathon slower than the second half of the marathon. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, he ran that second half of the race in just under 1 hour. I mean, we talk, don't we, in sprinting, if athletes could get their start right, about how good they could be. We don't often talk about it in marathon running, do we? But yeah, I think that's the thing with Kelvin Kipton. We look at Sha'Carri Richardson, we talk about Noah Lyles. These will be names that we'll talk about in the summer. Mm. And they might cut through. They might get to the level of achievement that Usain Bolt has. I would suggest it's unlikely that they become a global figure in the way that Bolt has. But I think Kelvin Kipton, despite the fact that when we spoke to him, he was clearly quite shy. He was quite a quiet character, wasn't
he?
Yeah. He was obviously, I think, struggling with the monumental achievement that he had just done. And, you know, let's bear in mind, he had just run 26.2 miles in a little over 2 hours when we spoke to him. But, yeah, he was a very unassuming character. But I think if the sub-two-hour marathon had happened, or, you know, if it happened at the Olympics, even in Paris, that is the achievement that I think would have propelled him to that superstardom that he was certainly destined for.
And to finish, of course, we send our respects to all his family and friends. This is Anything But Footy, the Olympic and Paralympic podcast. To change tack slightly, we're going to round up our other news from the Games, the other headlines from the world of Olympics and Paralympics. And I know it's Michael's most exciting moment, the announcement of the mascots for the Olympic and Paralympic Winter Games for Milano Cortina 2026. Tino and Milo, two stoat siblings, so brother and sister or sisters or whatever, distinguished by their different colour coats, will represent the Winter Olympic Games and the Paralympic Winter Games in 2026. So it's about stoats for Milan. All I can think of is the Disney film. What was it, Milo and Stitch or something? But it's Tina and Milo. Tina and Milo. I'm going to be calling them Milo and Stitch for a very long time. But the Milan Cortina 2026 mascots have been revealed this week.
Very confusing for me because my daughter's cats are Leela and Stitch. So I'll probably be calling them then. Anyway, Great Britain are in with a chance of going to those games with an ice hockey team. A 7-4 win over Romania in Cardiff secured a place in the final Olympic qualification round, which takes place in August. Hungary and South Korea have missed out. Great Britain last made the final round of the Olympic qualifiers back in 2013. They will travel to Denmark this time, subject to final confirmation at Monday's International Hockey Federation Council meeting.
Organising committee of the Olympic Games in Milan have also stated they intend to construct the sliding centre in Cortina for the Games, which is now less than 2 years away. It had been thought that Austria would be the location for the bob, skeleton and luge, but the IBSF, the federation in charge, has also raised serious concerns on the tight construction timeline. But organisers are going to plough ahead. But the Federation has welcomed the IOC's call for a plan B. So it looks like, Michael, there could be sliding at Milan Cortina in 2026. But they've got to get it delivered, and they've got to get it delivered quickly.
Now, I spotted an article away from the Winter Games on TalkSport.com this week. And the article is all about football. And I appreciate our podcast is anything but footy. But we also do say at the start that we are right across all the Olympic and the Paralympic sports. So we do cover Olympic football, of course. And Lionel Messi could be coming to the Paris Olympics. He's been offered the captaincy if he wants it, after the World Cup winners qualified for the Games with a 1-0 win over Brazil. Now, the defending champions Brazil have failed to qualify. And they were aiming, remember, for three consecutive gold medals, having one in Rio and having one in Tokyo. Rules surrounding football teams at the Olympics state they must be 23 or under, but we know that they do also allow a maximum of three players that are older. And for South American footballers, this summer's going to be really interesting because they've got their Continental Championship, so the South American equivalent of the Euros, if you like, and they've got the Olympic Games as well. Now, the other South American team that's qualified is Paraguay, so they are back at the Olympics too. Paraguay have won an Olympic medal in football before. Their only Olympic medal, in fact, was won in football, as far as I can recall, if memory serves. But yeah, there will be some tough choices to face for a lot of South American footballers from Argentina and from Paraguay, because you just simply can't imagine that you will have players playing in the big leagues in Europe or South America, playing in their continental championships, and then having to play at the Olympics as well. But yeah, maybe Lionel Messi on the Olympic stage.
Back in Paris, of course, because he left to go to Miami after being in Paris Saint-Germain for a couple of years, didn't he? So I think it would be good from a sporting point of view to have someone like Lionel Messi at the Olympics. We know Kylian Mbappe is keen to do it from a France point of view as well. My son will be delighted if Lionel Messi's there. I mean, that would like make his world. You know, he's excited about the Olympics, but if you add Messi into the mix as well, he'll be beside himself. So let's wait and see. But
are you still a bit sad that David Beckham wasn't named in the Team GB squad for 2012?
Yeah, I am still a little bit sad that happened. I remember interviewing Stuart Pearce about it, because obviously it was the big talking point, and he was the manager at the time. And you know, his argument from memory was, you know, that David wasn't the right person at that time to be in that team. But I think it would have added another dimension to it as well. We talked about it when we interviewed Scott Field from Team GB, didn't we, in Great British Bosses, about what a difference it made from a women's football point of view to have a sold out Wembley for the first time. And I just think it would have been if it had been David Beckham and Ryan Giggs, I think that would have had another, because I think it was Biggs, Bellamy and somebody else that I can't even remember who the other overage player was. So I still think it would have been nice to have had Beckham there. But of course, everyone thinks he lighted the flame anyway, didn't he, at London 2012? Everyone
still
remembers
his,
that.
His boat, isn't he?
He was only on the boat. Yacht. Exactly. He was only on the boat. But people think he lit the flame. But anyway, we will, of course, keep an eye on the world of football from an Olympic point of view. As Michael said, the teams are now all sorted. And I suppose we saw the other week that hockey is now, we're now going to get to the draws, aren't we? you know, who's going to play who, when they're going to play. And so, for example, I think I've got football tickets, which admittedly are quarterfinals, but it'll give me an idea of who could be, who we could be seeing potentially as the games get nearer, which are now only 160 days away. Yes, Paris 2024 is en route, as Michael so aptly put it. You can check out all our socials for the latest from the World Aquatics Championships and all the other Olympic news that is going on. We've got our latest blogs on the website as well. A really good one about radio that Michael wrote is on there now, and there'll be another one appearing next week as well. And the 2024 sporting calendar. I mentioned some of those at the start, but there are some big Olympic sporting events to come before the Games gets underway. And stay with us as we count down to Paris 2024.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.